Okay. Today we're actually starting CSS. A little more of CSS. So I'm going to be looking at the CSS sample code. And the very first one under the CSS code is this one. And the first thing, to see is that it uses an external style sheet. So if I'm going to use an external style sheet, right under title, I put the link hreference equals, and I tell it where the style sheet is. Now I put it in exactly the same folder that the page is in, so I don't need an address. But if you put it in a different folder, you need an address there. And you can go to the point of having an HTTP address that gives the whole address to find it. And then you say rel equals style sheet and type equals text CSS. So you're telling it it's a style sheet. And you're saving it with a .css extension. Okay, so if you then click on this, it will actually bring up the style sheet, and you can see the style sheet that I did. And notice there is absolutely nothing that identifies it. It just has the style. So I could take this exactly as it is and type and copy it into the style that is on the style in the regular page underneath style, and it would be exactly that way. So it's exactly the same as it would be if I'd written the style. There's nothing that identifies it other than it has a .css extension. So I said that the body, that the default color was going to be green, and the background was going to be pink. And then I went down and said, okay, all H1s and H2s will be red, and they will be a particular font family. Now, what they suggest is there's a lot of fonts that are default fonts. Sometimes people like to use fancier fonts. If they do, then they should put them first and then put as a comma or something else, and they can put another fancy one. But at the end, they should kind of have a default that says, if the person that is looking at this page doesn't have any of those fancy fonts, this is the one to use. Okay? So basically, this is choice one, this is choice two. And if the font has an embedded space, then it has to be in quotes. Okay, otherwise, the font can just be written without the quotes. It can have quotes if you want it to. So my H3s I made blue. Okay, so those are the things that I set in here. I set the font family for my headers and my paragraph, and I set colors for my headers and my paragraph. Okay, so then if I go back and just look at the source for the page, I also had a style that I put inside. So I had most of it on an external sheet, but I had a little bit on the inner sheet. And that one has an H3 and says the color is purple. Okay, so, and then down here, just to be difficult, I said, okay, this paragraph is going to have a color of orange.
So that would, like, conflict with each other? You'd, like, have them on both?
Yes, you can have them on both. When you have them in a variety of places, the closest thing wins. Okay? And so down here with style color orange, that's the closest, so it wins. the stuff that's on the page wins over the external stuff. Okay, so the closest one will win. There's a whole bunch of rules, but basically it boils down to, in most cases, the closest wins. Okay, so we have three different things, and because they made that go away, let's see if I can find out how to. Right here. Okay, there are three things. The first, I said right here. Doesn't seem to really want me to write here. Well, I'll put them in when I get home. But the first thing is, this includes all three ways you can do style sheets. The first one is an external style sheet. The second way is embedding it inside the head. And the third is using it on individual lines inside the body. So let's try that one more time. No? I'm curious. Smart board should be here someplace. Do you see anything that says smart board? Oh, smart technologies. That's probably it. Smart notebook, other notebook tools. None of those look like they are going to do what I wanted to do. Oh well, I will write when I get home. So that's setting that one up, and actually I'm going to bring up and show both of them together. Okay, so hi. Those are the three that I have together. Okay, so those are the two style sheets that go together, and between them, as I say, this one, the external one, wins. This has second, and I'm sorry. The external is the one that is the least considered wrong. The style embedded in the body wins. Then the style embedded in the head wins. And then it goes to the external. So that if there's conflict, the closest one wins. I'm looking at CSS when it comes up. Okay. Alrighty, and we had just gotten through actually one example. Okay, there's the CSS. So what I did is I went along in here. If you look at this, you have the HTML, and then the CSS is right below it if I was under the CSS page. Okay. So the next one is the HTML, and this one, if I look at the page, it has no style except for the external. Okay, so if I click on the external, that gives me the style. So between these two, I have the style. And at some point, I need to... I need to talk to somebody about fixing this again is what I really need to do.
separate link inside of it just to make it like a little less clustered, or is it actually?
The having the separate link is done most frequently when you have multiple pages that you want to have the same style. If I have a look that I want for my site, then if I make them the same style once in the CSS, I can say this is what every one of them should have, a background of this. Everyone should have a font color of this. And it just makes it easier because I can link to that page all the time and then put the specifics for a certain page in the head path. Okay. So let's see. I'm right now. There it is. And if I do a view page source, there it is. And let's see if I have the CSS. I don't. So I can click on that. There's the CSS. Come back to here and do a view page source, and I should be able to get everything up here. I think that's it all. Okay, so on this one, I've said the body. I'll start out with the font family, and I've got Times New Roman or Times Roman or Serif. Color green, background pink, and I set margins. So I've got a margin at the top, a margin at the left, and a margin at the right. Okay, then I went in, and all my paragraphs, I said I wanted to have text indent and a margin at the top, and I wanted them to be blue. Text indent means this kind of thing where I indent the first line of the paragraph. You know, that's one of the styles that you use in writing, is the ability to indent the first line of a paragraph to tell it that that's the first line of the paragraph. So text indent does that for you. And I did a text indent of a half an inch. Then I had a table, and I said I wanted the background to be white, and I wanted the border to be solid and thick. Okay, so at this point, the border has picked up the default color that I put up in the body. So that's why you see the border turning green, is it's picked up the default color. And I said the stuff inside the TV should be orange. And then I made all my headers red. And all my headers will be Helvetica, as long as Helvetica is supported on the machine that the person is using. If not, it will be Arial. If not, it will be Sans Serif. Okay? So you're giving them a lot of choices, and the reason for that is I, for one, don't care. So I don't load down special fonts, okay? But a lot of people really like different fonts, and so they download different fonts that they want to use on papers if you have different fonts. And if they do, then if they figure if they're talking to a like-minded person, they want to have them use this neat font too. And so they put the font first. And if they're talking to me, I take the default font, whatever it is. Okay. Okay, so that basically is how the CSS made that page. And if the CSS was missing, this page would be nothing but a black and white page with headers and paragraphs, everything aligned over to the left, as it is here, actually. And no margins, no anything else. It would all just be one line right after another. So the CSS, in this case, is totally external. And that's another thing. There are people who really feel strongly that they want to keep content and style separate. And they're the ones that also will use external style sheets because they want to keep the two things separate. They want the page to be all about content, and they want the style to be a separate entity. okay? If you're not a fanatic on that, then putting it inside the head also makes it a separate entity, I think.
Well, once you start embedding down in the body, you've
kind of broken out of that. Okay, the third one. Is this. And again, it's the same thing, but if I come and look at the table, I've now put a border color on the table.
So I've got a border and I've got a border color of brown. And so that's the big change that I made, is I took over the border color as opposed to letting it be the default, which was the green.
Okay, little by little you're getting more company.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
So, allow those colors to be there on that red page. Do you put something in the, at the top of the HTML, like under the doc type?
No, it's all in the CSS. So if you look at the view source,
yes,
it refers you to the CSS. Okay? So there's the CSS, and that's got the style for this page.
Okay.
Okay, so if I click on that CSS,
yeah,
it now shows me all of the style. And again, the point that I made at the beginning is there's nothing inside here that if I wanted to put it inside the head, I couldn't just copy and paste the whole thing, put it inside the head under the style tag, and it would work just fine.
It would?
Pardon? It would work just fine. So all of this could be taken and put inside the style tag, inside the head. And it would be perfect. Okay. And the next one. This one is where I did that. So this one has the style entirely in the head. There is no external style sheet. So I copied and pasted it, basically, and this is all in the head. Okay. At some point, I found these moving flags. Okay. So, to start out with, so here's the page that I have, and here is the style that goes with it, okay? So I went out and I grabbed that external style sheet, and that's the style that I have with it. Now, in this particular one, I did much the same things, except here I've got a paragraph with a background image of a flag. Okay, so that has, I can take and put background images on specific things. So I put the background image on the flag. Now notice what happened, however, at the top. I said background image is CISA GIF. And then I said background is Aqua, and it overrode the CISA GIF. So I'm actually seeing the background of Aqua. So when I put that URL first and then put in background of Aqua, it overrode it. Okay. So you have to be careful about that.
Actually, I want to try something.
Why do I have the, I wonder if this works when I'm here as opposed to at home, but anyway. I'm going to take and copy this. Save page as, yeah, that'll work, whatever I want to call it, on the T drive. So CSS2H5. And then I want to save this as well. And then I want to save, I think I have the CISA GIF out there already. So I want to save the flag GIF. Actually, I don't care about the flag GIF, and that's going to be a pain in the neck. So if I come over here and do a file, open file, and I go to my thaw space, and I open CSS2H. Okay, apparently CISA GIF was not out there. Could have sworn it was. But then again, they did some fixing up. You can try playing with this too. What I want to see is that background color versus background image. I want you to play around with that. So while I'm trying to get it going, you can also play. CISA GIF was on my one images. So this is save image as and save it on there. So now if I come in here and I change a little of the code, so I want to find that page, and I want to edit it. I think I want to edit it with Notepad. Plus plus. And I'm going to, whoops, I want to edit the CSS one. I'm going to change that first and put the background above. And then I'm going to refresh here. And okay, the background is above, and now I'm getting both. Okay, so I changed the CSS to say when I reverse these, and actually I guess I need to source and then show it. When I reverse these and I didn't paste it in very well, it worked all right. Okay? So then I got the background of Aqua and then I got the background image. Now the thing I wanted to try was actually something different. And that is if I go in here and I bring this up to edit, and I change this back down again, but I call it background color, so I'm being more specific. that's the thing that I wanted to try. I knew that flipping them would work, but this is the thing I want to try, that if I make that a background color, is it able to understand two things? And I'm not sure what I'm going to find out, but that's what I wanted to try. So I'm going to do a refresh, and it looks like that is working okay. Okay. So it looked like that worked okay when I gave it a background color as opposed to just saying background. Because again, with a lot of these things, there's the big picture, like background, like border. But then border can have color, border can have size, border can have a whole lot of things. Background can have image, it can have color, so it can get very specific. And I wanted to see if the background color would make it specific such that I could have both. And apparently I can. Yeah. Okay. Okay, questions? And as I said, I didn't think of that until I was looking at it in here. Okay. That's the one I was looking at. Actually, I want to go back to the 2H one. If you look at this, I've set up classes. So on the table, and the table is down at the bottom of the screen down here, I've set up classes. And the classes are, for the first row, I said, this TD, I want to have the class of right. And then the second TD, I want to have the class of center. And then on the bottom one, I reversed it and said, I want the class of center first and the class of right second. So notice that if I pick words here called right and center, those are not, those words could be apple and orange. It doesn't matter what the words are, okay? Because I'm going to go to the CSS. And in the CSS, I'm going to specify what they are. So if you go to the CSS and I scroll down, center says do a text align center and make the color pink. So the two things that I have the class of center on have a color of pink and have text align center. And then the one that's right, I said text align to the right. And again, when it's full, you can't really tell. But I said text align to the right, make it orange, make it italic, and make it bold. And all of those things are happening in the two that I gave the right to. The two that I said were class of right. Now, once I've set up a class, the way I tell CSS to use it is I have dot center, which tells that this is a class. Dot right, which tells that it's a class. As opposed to table, TD, all those, which are tags. Okay, all of the things up above here, block quote, H1, they're all tags. These with the dot in front are classes. Okay. And what a class does for you is it lets you set up a class and apply it to something, which means that you can have very specific CSS for that thing. Okay, I've got very specific CSS for that thing. One of the assignments I gave you at one point was to come up with three H1s. And I wanted you to have a default for one of for two of the H1s, and one of them I wanted to have a different style.
And so the way you did it is you put the style down in the body. But now that you know class, you never have to do that again. You can always just set up a class for it. And once you set up the class, you can make that particular H1 look different because it's got a class associated with it. So that's the main way that people keep from putting style inside the body, is to instead set up a class. So there are the classes, and there is the CSS that goes with those classes. Okay. So then the other things I had in the CSS here, as I said, is I had a paragraph that has, all paragraphs have the flag if as their background. Okay. I have text decoration, which is underline. I have text transform, which is turn it to uppercase. I don't see anything else in particular. I have my borders set up here as solid and thin, and then I added a border color as separately as brown.
I could have done border solid, thin, brown. Questions? What I have open here. So that was 2H5 that we just looked at. Okay, this is absolutely, all of these examples are absolutely how you shouldn't do things. Notice that I am trying to have a background image and I've got words over it, I've got words over this, none of which I can read. It's terrible. Okay, so don't ever copy my examples in this area because they are terrible. But I'm hopefully making the point of how terrible they are and that you can't read anything on this page. This page is totally and completely hopeless. Okay? And again, it's using the CSS, and I'm not sure that I have anything particularly interesting in this one. Okay, now on this one, I am setting up two sections, classes. I have a class called Outline and I have a class called Pickbox. Okay, so I've got those two classes set up. And again, if you look at the page, Outline is going to be, okay, this is Outline. The one with the blue background is Outline, because I said the border is solid, medium brown, margin left 30, margin right 30, which ends up centering it, and the background color is that particular color. Okay, and that's one of the ways I said you can do color is RGB. So I did it that way, and this time just to be different. And then the picture box had a border of solid, medium, and brown, margins on either side, and it has a background image. So that image isn't a image that's in there. It's a background image. So therefore, it repeats depending on the size. So if I come over here, and let's see if I can actually move this. come on. There we go. If I make this a smaller page, and I go over, notice that the background image, I'm now down to one on the background image. So it's a background image, it's not a image that I'm putting into the, it's a background image. Okay, and a background image just means it will go and repeat as often as necessary to fill whatever it is. And I said that this was a background image for the class called Pickbox. Okay? And this is a background color for the class called Outline. And they change as I change size. One of the big things now is being able, we're looking at mainly doing things for the big screen. But obviously, more people are using their cell phones. And we will talk later about how you can change it so that it will look okay on the cell phone. Right now, if you put this in a cell phone, it's going to be okay. But it's going to be kind of like that. So that's probably not exactly what you want when you put it up to the cell phone. It's going to go and look more like that. And that is one way to react to cell phones. And I'm sure you have seen a bunch of pages where the person never changed anything, mine included, so that when you look at it on your cell phone, you only see, well, you don't see anything that looks terribly good lots of times. Okay. In this one, notice I've got a missing thing in the middle there. Okay, I still have the two classes, Outline and Pickbox. But this time, I said that Pickbox is only to be associated with a division. So div.pickbox means Pickbox can only be associated with a division. Okay, so if I come down here and I look at... Come on. If I come down here and look at the code, you can see that I put out there first time I use class, I put division class as outline. Okay, so right here, division class as outline gets me that one. Division picture is outline gets me the next one. I mean, not picture, paragraph. Then I went down and I came up with a paragraph and I said, it has a class of picture box. Well, that means since I wrote division is the only thing that can have a picture box, that means that it's not going to show up. And I wanted to make it clear that it shouldn't show up, so I put a bunch of ERs in. And then I said, paragraph class is picture box, and I have a bunch of ERs there too, but it does the image. So class is picture box, works just fine, because I said picture box can be associated with division, and this class is associated with division. But when the class is associated with paragraph, it doesn't work. I'm not real clear about why I would ever want to limit myself like that. Division.pictureBox seems like I'm limiting myself for no good reason. I'm choosing where I'm putting the classes anyway. If I choose to put a class on a paragraph, then probably I should allow it to be on a paragraph because I'm being inconsistent. that works, but as I said, I've never quite understood why anybody'd want to do that, because it seems to me like I'm in control. Why do I have to do that? Questions? Okay, that's the first group of this. And now we're going to go down and look at CSS continued. Okay, and we're still only kind of looking at basic CSS. We will get to some other stuff today, and next week we'll look at CSS. And then we start JavaScript. Okay, so the first one. Okay, this is the first one. It's got a problem with alignment and color. Okay. In this one, I put all of the colors in quotes, and I put all of the alignment in quotes, and basically it stopped working. So just a point that in older pages, sometimes you will see something done in quotes. They have to be removed if they are doing the picture and color and all that sort of stuff. So now I did one where I've got the picture and the color showing up and they're not in quotes. Okay. So again, what I've got here is I've got a background color and I've got a foreground or text color. And I've used a lot of styles inside here. Okay. Which again is the other way you can do things, although now that I know class, it would probably be better to set it up with a class. So it would have worked better if I'd said here, this H2 has a class equals header 2 style 1, header 2 style 2, header 2 style 3, or whatever I wanted to do, and take it and pull it out of here and put it in as a class. Okay. And you can see that it does end up kind of mixing and matching when I put style inside. Okay. This one I just changed over the colors and used floral white and cornflower blue and crimson and lime. All right. So I now have cornflower blue, which apparently is spelled with a lowercase f, but blue has a capital B. Whatever. And floral white. Okay. Okay, this is another way that you can bring in the spreadsheet style sheet. You can do an import. And this one I'm importing CSS A and I'm importing CSS B. Now, notice a couple of differences. When I did it the other way where I talked about an external style sheet, it was not inside style, it was right after title. So it wasn't inside style. On this one, if you're doing the import, you do it inside the style, and it has to be at the top of the style. So I have put some style in there, and then I put H1 table and all that sort of stuff. And I ended up putting in table twice just to kind of make the point that you can do that. I would actually put it up there if I were really doing it, but you can do that. Okay. So then I've got classes here, and I've got the class is to right and to center, And I think those are the only two classes that I have. Okay? So, if I then go and look at CSSA, that's the first one I imported. And that one talks about body, it talks about a paragraph, it talks about the table having a background of white. And if you look at the B one, it has the classes in them. So the class has the two center and the two right. And the centered ones are centered in pink, and the things with the class up to the right are right, orange, italic, and bold. Okay. So you have the different classes going on there, and I think I've got far too much open here at this particular moment. And I think I managed to get rid of the page, too. Very clever. So essentially, what I'm going to ask you to do for homework is a lot of just kind of playing around with this stuff. And now I got to get back into where I was. So again, I have the page set up inside the table. I have the two right and two center, and those are doing right and doing centering. Okay, so I have two right and two center on this top row, and then the second row, I just said column span. But the two right and two center are aligning the things the way I want them to be aligned. So that one's to the right and that one's to the center. And again, if I want to see what the input CSA, this doesn't give you that nice little, I can click on it to see it, that it does when I set up the file. And as I said, you don't see this used very often. But you should know that it exists so that if you run into it, you will know what it's doing for you. But it really isn't used anywhere near as often as the link reference.
It's basically the same thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. They both let you bring in an external style sheet. Well, you still need to have a .css extension.
The whole ref style.
Right, right. Right. Although, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you can't get rid of that, if that's not just more documentation now. So those are the imports. Okay, this one has some features that are kind of interesting. And they're all internal this time. So H1 has a border that is 2 pixels and solid. It has padding. And padding means move down from the top, move down from the top, move in, etc. It's just putting padding around the word. So my padding is 5 pixels, text align semicolon red. H2 is basically the same thing, except that the border is a little thicker, and it is blue. H3 has a background color, and that's about it. H4, and notice for some reason I've got a capital H there, which I should. It actually doesn't care HTML5 is more forgiving about that than XHTML used to be. At one point, I used to make all my tags years ago, all my tags capitals, because I thought that they really stood out that way, and you could tell the tag from the text. And then XHTML came along and other things that said, no, you can't do that. And now they're back to being more flexible. Okay. Notice I said H4, which is, let's see what H4 is. H4 is embedded inside here. Okay, so H4 is embedded inside it. And this is the first part of, and then it's H4, the line, which now ends. So my H4, I've now said, no, I want to display it in line. Okay, a header usually will bounce down, right? Here I'm saying, no, I want that header to be in line. And so it put it in line. But it made it bold, because headers are made bold. And then I said font size should be 24 point. But that didn't work. And then I came down on the paragraph and did a letter spacing of 10 points, which means my letters are all spaced out by using the 10 point. Why did the header 4 not get me a bigger size? No? That's something dumb I did. Look at all the others where I have a size. What's different between 24 point and 10 point down here?
You put a space.
I put a space. Notice that space between 24 and point? That meant it didn't work. Okay? And it's those lovely little things that keep you on your toes. Okay? So on this one, I changed it, and I've now got 24 point, and it works. Okay? So it now goes up to a font size of 24 point. It's a header that is embedded in, which gives me the boldness. And it's displaying in line, which is what got it embedded in the line. There's a lot of neat things you can do with style. And right now we're not even looking at CSS3, although all this is still part of CSS3. But we will look at CSS3 or some of it next week. But CSS3 is adding even more bells and whistles. So CSS, regular CSS, has a lot of bells and whistles. CSS3 has some really neat stuff that you can do, especially look-wise, graphics-wise. It's got some really neat stuff. Okay, overlays. Again. Don't do as I do. Okay, I've got three images there, and they're all on top of each other. Now, you may indeed want three images on top of each other, but you'd probably pick three different images. Okay, so, to do this one, I set up a division that I gave a class of snow to. And then I set up another division which I gave a class of flag to. And then I set up another division that I gave a class of CIS to. And in each of those, I put an image and I did the height and width, even though I told you that's not a good idea, that you should go out to paint and make it the right height and width. And not do height and width inside. But it works. It's just not considered a great way of doing it. Okay, so I've got these three images. Now I want them to be on top of each other.
And to do that, I use z-index. So z-index 0 will be the bottom layer. Z-index 1 ends up being the next layer. And z-index 2 ends up being the top layer. So I've layered things on top of each other, and I've done that by using z-index 0, z-index 1, z-index 2. Position is absolute. I want the position that I've set up, and I want each of them to have a top down 16 pixels and left in 16 pixels. So they're all starting at the same spot. If I wanted to move the flag inside or something, then I could have changed the top and the left on it, and it would have moved it in. Okay, but the top and left tells me where the image's top left should go. And once I know where the image's top left should go, the whole image just falls in place. Okay, as long as I know the top corner, and I point the top corner someplace, then the image goes in place. So this lets me pile images on top of each other. And you can do this effectively, actually, if you had, you know, a background and you wanted to put a character in a particular spot on it, you can have the character go in. Okay. So these allow you to put things on top of other things. Now the next one down uses something called ID instead of class. And I would like you between now and then to read a little bit about ID. And we'll go over ID a little bit more next week. But essentially, ID and class are very similar, except that there are rules associated with ID, and there's not so many associated with class. ID should only be used once. And so when you set up your page and you have an area for the header and an area for the body and an area for the footer or something, frequently they will use ID to talk about the header and ID to talk about the body and ID to talk about the footer. And then maybe paragraphs inside, they'll use classes. Okay? Because IDs can only be used once, and there's a bunch of rules about them. But essentially, if you're using an ID, instead of using the word class, you use the word ID. And instead of using the dot up here, you use the number sign. So the number sign tells me this is associated with an ID, and the dot tells me this is associated with the class. And you can see it worked exactly the same. There's nothing different about how this worked. Okay. Nobody's asking any questions. Anybody got some questions?
Sure. What's the, like, other variables?
Say that again.
Like, the position part, absolute.
Absolute, yeah. We're going to actually go into more absolute positions. But absolute means at the spot that we sit. You can have a position relative, and position relative means relative to something that you've already done. Okay? We will look at positioning. I've got a whole little thing on it that we'll look at some point. Probably next Monday. Okay, then the next one, again,
and my font is really big here so that I don't have to put much on the page,
but notice I have an image that is flowing across the top,
Actually, you know what? I forgot one thing I wanted to mention about the last one, and then I'll come back to this one. The one with the ID. I wanted to mention that I use Z indexes of 1, 2, and 3. So it doesn't matter whether you start out with 0 or start out with 1. It works either way. So this one I did 1, 2, and 3. And I meant to mention that. Okay, so now on to the next one. If you look at the source on this, and again, I have put the CSS inside lots of times because it makes it easier to show in class. I might want to have an external CSS, but that involves me bringing up the two things and juggling them around. So for in class, it's a lot easier to just say it this way. Okay, so what I've got there is I've got a background image, and I said I wanted it to repeat along the x-axis. Okay, so it is repeating only on the x-axis, which means I'm getting one row of repeat. If I put repeat on the y-axis, then it will come down there, one row going down. So I'm saying I want to repeat only on the x-axis. And then I've got background attachment of scroll. So notice what happens with it. When I go down, it scrolls past. So the background of scroll means that it scrolls out of sight. Okay, if the page is bigger, it puts out that one thing, and then it scrolls out of sight. I used a class of bright, and I used a class of dim. Notice also span. Okay? If you look down below where it says this data is going to be brighter than the rest, notice where it says that this data is going to be brighter than the rest. And let me see if I can get... Okay. That's using span. Span is something, it's a tag, that you can stick in kind of in the middle of nowhere. Because I want this to apply to this. It's not a paragraph, it's not a division, it's not a header, it's nothing. It's just an area that I want to be, in this case, bold and red. So I said bright is bold and red. And I said put a span on this area. So span goes from here to here, where I close span. And I said use the class bright, which means it will be bold and it will be red. Okay, so if I have a particular area that I want, for some reason, to look different than the others, but it isn't anything. It isn't a header, it isn't a paragraph, it's just a few words that I suddenly want to get bright. We also saw me do that with that H4 when I said H4 and display inline. That does that lots of times. That can do the same thing for you lots of times. But span is the one that's used the most often. When I put in span and say, okay, this area that's enclosed in the span tag, this is how I want it to look. And that's just a very useful little tool. So kind of file that one away, that span is a good thing to know about. Okay. This one has the repeat on the y-axis. The difference is the impact of the scrolling. if I scroll down, it keeps going. Whereas when I had the X and I scroll down, it went off the page. But on this one, when I scroll down, it keeps going. Now I'm going to have one where I said, that I want it to have, I want this background image to be CISAM. I want it to be positioned at the top left. I want it to have a fix, and I want it to have background color bold and all the rest of it. But the point is that I want no repeat, and I want it to be just at the top left. And fixed means, notice it stays in the position that it's at. Okay, so when I say fixed, it stays at the position, it stays on the screen. Now, people use this sometimes the way I did on this, but they frequently put it down in the lower corner. But, and they would use a much dimmer image. They would fade the image out. But they sometimes would use a company symbol, and they'll have a company symbol that kind of stays on the page, frequently down in that corner. And this is how they can do it. So I can have bottom right, for example, instead of background position top left, I can have bottom right. And I can have fixed, which means it stays there, and no repeat, which means it's just one view of the image. Yes, no, maybe? Okay, and the next one I did with scroll, so that one gets lost. So let me scroll it up just a little bit so that it's clear that it gets lost. Okay, so this is top left still, no repeat still, but it's scroll. So this one starts out on the page, but once you start moving the page, if the page is too big for the screen, then you lose it. And this one is at the bottom right. And again, it stays there. Okay, so this is the bottom right, no repeat, and it's fixed, meaning it stays there. So if I had a very dim company image there, you know, it probably works okay. Especially depending on what I have in that column. I think I'm actually going to give you a break now before we go on to the next two. I think we've hit saturation and we need a small break. So take about a 10-minute break, come back, and we will torture you some more.